present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo and Joan Bakewell in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard from our announcer, we're delighted to welcome Joan Bakewell as our guest, who is going to try and pit her wits and her talent against our three regular competitors of the game. Each one of them will try and speak, if they can, for just a minute on the subject that I will give them without hesitating, without deviating from the subject or repeating anything. And we'll begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. And the subject, Kenneth, is My Ideal. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
My ideal would have been when I was a young Floriplume who wore two felt hats because she was frightened of any bombs dropping and thus causing her considerable injury. She taught me about the delights of kumquats and was led by her aunt all the way through Devon, only having one pause, which was on a bullock cart as they approached Dawlish. When she and I did come together, I conceived a passion, and I must say it might have been consummated had my parents been so disposed. But since I was only 11 and she was in service at the time over 25, there was no chance of us, so to speak, getting together. Therefore, I remained unfulfilled, thinking of this ideal only in the mind, never having this affection, love, you might say, requited.
Joan Bakewell has charged.
Love, deviation, I think, from
yes.
Idealism, don't you?
Oh, I thought you were going to have repetition. Deviation from his ideal. Well, I would have for Kenneth Williams to fall in love might have achieved his ideal. But, I think it's a very good challenge, and as he was getting very confused there, and as you are our guest, I do think the only fair thing I can do is give you a point for a correct challenge and say that you have 9 seconds to take over the subject as My Ideal, starting now.
It's very important when one conceives of an ideal person to make sure that one never has any opportunity of fulfilling any relationship with them. Otherwise...
When Ian Messiter blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up and that whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. And on this occasion, it was our guest, Joan Bakewell. So at the end of the first round, she is the only one to have scored. And Derek Nimmo, would you take the next round? The subject is conkers. You tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now.
How I'd like to stand in the autumn of the year beneath a spreading chestnut tree and throw up into it stones and branches to try and bring down to the ground these lovely little nut kernels, the conkers, which I will then put onto a piece of string and go around and find chums who have similar things on the end of the pieces of rope and bang away at their conkers. And if you succeed, well, in fact, if you conquer, using the other sense of the word, then you tie a little knot on this piece of... that you sound...
Peter Jones.
Hesitation.
Yes, hesitation, searching for another description for the word string. Peter, you get a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject, and there are 32 seconds left. Conkers, starting now.
Yes, as Derek said, it is the fruit of the horse chestnut, and I suppose...
Kenneth Williams.
Repetition, as what? Derek has just said.
Ah, but Peter Jones hadn't said it. So it's only if he repeats it. You see, Peter hadn't repeated it.
I see, you're making these rules up as you go along.
They haven't altered, actually. Peter, an incorrect challenge. You still have conkers, and you have 27 seconds, starting now.
And before the age of television, and even many years ahead of the invention of numerous toys that children have now...
Joan Bakewell.
Nothing to do with conkers at all, this. This is all about the future of
absolutely
television.
Right. You're yes. Absolutely well thought out.
I said...
She's so good, isn't she?
I said before the invention of these things...
Yeah.
Conkers, I was about to say.
Yeah, but you didn't get there quick enough. And I think Joan has a correct challenge, and there are 20 seconds left on Conkers, Joan, starting now.
The best way to prepare a conker for a match, such as Derek has referred to, is to take the fruit and put it in the oven at a very low heat and leave it there for some 3 or 4 hours. If the conker is heated to...
Peter Jones has challenged.
I think 3 or 4 hours is much too long.
About to explain why it was
so
the right
what
time.
Is your challenge?
Well, spinning it out too long.
Give him a point.
Half an hour at least, you know, that's the most...
There must be deviation, for which I disagree, because you can put your conger in the oven for as long as you want. There are 6 seconds left for you, Joan, having got an incorrect challenge to continue on conkers, starting now.
After this time...
Kenneth was...
Hesitation.
I'm afraid so, Joan. That's what happens in this game, because and a half seconds went.
He's sitting next to me being so kind and smiling.
Yes. Don't be deceived. He was just giving you encouragement to get you started. But now...
Now it's his turn.
The true side is coming out. There are 5 seconds left on Conkers with you, Kenneth, starting now.
This was an appellation applied to myself. They cried out, "Oh, he's a conker, if ever I saw one." I turn to him.
Kenneth Williams.
I was finishing then, so I get a point, don't I?
Yes, for
that means I'm in the lead, right?
No. You're in second place behind our guest Joan Bakewell.
Oh.
And equal with Peter Jones.
Oh, dear.
And Derek Nimmo's in last place. Peter, will you begin the next round? The subject is sampans. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
One of the most exciting scenes in the world is the water market at Bangkok, where these sampans are floating about, loaded with bananas and curry and various fruits and vegetables, and they're all jockeying for position, and some of the people are fishing from them, and others swimming in the liquid around them. Now, I was called at 9 o'clock in the morning. I dashed down and I got into the motor launch and I scudded through these crowds of excited...
Derek Nimmo, child.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree, Derek. 26 seconds are left for sampans with you, Derek, starting now.
How I love to leave the scented harbour of Hong Kong in a sampan and go out to Chung Chow or Lantau or Lama Island, paddled by a dear old lady at the back, one of the hacker women perhaps with a big hat with a black around the side of it. And as we go, she hands to me a beautiful piece of pigeon meat cut up and wrapped in a lettuce leaf. And I think this is as near to heaven as one can possibly have...
Peter Jones.
It may be near to heaven, but it was a long way from the sampan.
I agree with your deviation. He was on about the pigeon meat and not the sampan. There are 3 seconds left on sampans, Peter, starting now.
You can make your own sampan if you get enough wood and...
So at the end of that round, Peter Jones, speaking as the whistle went, got another point, and he is now in the lead alongside Joan Bakewell. And Joan, your turn to begin, and the subject is rabbits. Can you tell us something about them in this game, starting now?
Richard Adams' book, Watership Down, teaches us that rabbits are very similar to human beings in the way that they speak, think, and act. Though the... When I had my...
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Okay.
Yes, I think
absolutely.
You're rotten.
Absolutely, you're so right.
No, it was rather me. I'm sorry, I'm very rude.
I hope she gets back at you.
Yes,
she's
will, yes.
Never played the game before. But it was a correct challenge, so I give it to you, Derek. And there are 47 seconds on rabbits starting now.
The family Austin were the first people to introduce rabbits into Australia. They live at Lake Bolac, which is down in Western District. They were first transported out to Van Diemen's Land in about 1840.
Joan Bakewell.
The rabbits or the people?
The people.
Oh, well, change of subject, then.
Yes,
deviation.
They had to get there to get the rabbits sent out to them, didn't they, really?
Yes,
rabbits
but,
are indigenous
as
warfare.
You were tough with her, I'm going to be tough
absolutely.
With you
quite
now
right,
and give it
yeah.
back to Joan. And Joan, you have 36 seconds on rabbits starting now.
I realise that I...
It is difficult. Derek.
It's impossible.
She realises she hesitated.
Yes. 34 seconds are left for rabbits with you, Derek, starting now.
Every time it gets to the first of the month, I say rabbits. Leap out of bed and rush around because I know this will bring me good luck. When one used to be away at boarding school, one used to do quite different things and kiss the first person that wants all coming down the staircase. That I no longer do. I just say rabbits because it does seem to be a totally satisfying thing to do. Particularly if you have a rabbit's foot in your pocket, it will give you even greater good fortune. Now, I was going to tell you about rabbits and the Antipodes.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes.
Yes. 7 seconds on rabbits with you, Peter, starting now.
Yes, well, they were introduced to Australia, but as you know, there are a lot of very good tennis players there. Some of the ones who don't
play... Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Well, he's now talking about tennis players.
Yes, but some tennis players are referred to as rabbits when they're beginners, and that's what he was saying. Or about to say. And so, there is 1 second left on rabbits still with you, Peter, starting now.
Quite right, Nicholas.
So Peter Jones was again speaking as the whistle went, and his information about rabbits has kept him in the lead, and now ahead of Joan Bakewell. Kenneth Williams and Derek Nimmo are equal in third place, and Kenneth, we're back with you to start. The subject that Ian Messiter has brought along for you is Thomas Sidney Cooper, the painter. We make that clear because obviously we've got to talk about him and not some other Thomas Sidney Cooper. And there are 60 seconds starting now.
Well, he was famous apparently for drawing animals and painted coaches originally for a living, and then eventually graduated to becoming drawing master. And during the course of his life there occurred this trip he had to Belgium and Holland, the Low Countries, as some would have it. And while there, had considerable difficulty sketching this horse. He said, for goodness sake, to the ostler, keep it still. And the other one cried out, she's a Flemish mare. And they are a very, what do you call it, fiery-tempered beast, these splendid...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Hesitation, it was all running out, wasn't it?
Yes. 19 seconds on Thomas Sidney Cooper, the painter, Derek, starting now.
Anybody who's visited Canterbury will have seen the Thomas Sidney Cooper Museum, which is filled with the most wonderful works of art and gives great delight and joy to anyone who visits that fair city.
Kenneth Williams.
He's not discussing the man Cooper, he's talking about an exhibition at Canterbury.
Which was named after Thomas Sidney Cooper.
Canterbury was named after Thomas
Sidney Cooper.
What an idiot.
I don't think he was deviating from the subject. He had connected the two with the museum in Canterbury, but I like your response.
Right.
There are 10 seconds, Derek, with the subject starting now.
He was indeed famed for painting cows and sheep, particularly the udders of the aforementioned beast, and he gave them a most wonderfully delicate touch. And with sheep, he could do the most beautiful things.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of sheep.
Yes, he did too many sheep for your Just a Minute contest. Oh, and only half a second left. How clever you are, Peter. And starting now, stubs. Peter Jones, needless to say, has increased his lead at the end of that round. Derek Nimmo's moved into second place. He's just one ahead of Joan Bakewell and Kenneth Williams, who are equal in third place. Peter, your turn to begin, and the subject is simply pleasure. So can you tell us something about pleasure in Just a Minute, starting now?
Well, pleasure is very rarely unalloyed. And Lord Chesterfield wrote about pleasure at great length and very frequently, as far as I can remember, from his letters to his son, though unfortunately I'm not able to recall any single thing that he said. What a pity, because it would have padded out this little chat about pleasure quite...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Well, because I know what Lord Chesterfield said. I thought it might be quite helpful, really. That's all.
Yes, well, if you could have slipped it to me unobtrusively, it would have been all right.
So your challenge was deviation, and as he wasn't deviating from the subject, it's a wrong challenge, and Peter keeps it, and there are 37 seconds left, starting now.
Pleasure can be a reward, something that comes at the end of a great effort, when one has made some particular...
Derek Nimmo challenge. Yes, definitely.
Just stopped, yes.
He thought about pleasure and he dried up.
Yes.
Very significant. 27 seconds are left for pleasure with you, Derek, starting
Talking
now.
Talking about pleasure, Lord Chesterfield said, a man of fashion is never heard to laugh, but only seen to smile. Which I think is one of the things that always carries
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, that's got nothing to do with pleasure. He did talk about pleasure, and Lord Chesterfield did write about pleasure, but that's about manners and laughing.
But I got the impression that he must have been expressing his feelings about something pleasurable.
No, he wasn't. His well, son...
I don't think you'd smile about unpleasurable things, so I don't think actually Derek was deviating. Good try, Peter. And a very difficult decision for me to make, but I will come down on Derek's side and say he has 18 seconds to continue on pleasure starting now.
My own conception of pleasure is to be wandering along a deserted beach looking for conch shells, which I particularly like and collect most avidly. I have a little pink bucket which I put them in, together with some seaweed and the occasional shrimp. That, to me, is the height of pleasure as far as I am concerned. As I continue along...
Derek Nimmo was speaking then as the whistle went. He gained that all-important extra point. He's moved forward only 1 point behind our leader, who's still Peter Jones. Joan Bakewell and Kenneth Williams are trailing a little now, and Joan is going to begin the next round. The subject is springs. Can you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
In the summer of 1976, we had the good fortune...
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
She's talking about the summer rather than the spring. DVH.
The summer of 1976 must have followed a spring, so you didn't give her a
it
chance to
It followed the spring of 1976, actually.
Be generous, Alistair.
Peter, that's incredible. How did you work that out? Good Lord, I'm glad you came along. We would never have realised that. Joan, it was an incorrect challenge. You only went for 3.5 seconds. You still had the subject. You got an extra point, of course, for a wrong challenge, and there are 52.5 seconds left on springs starting now.
We stayed in a hotel that was built on a point of land where a number of springs came together, and this made a tremendous difference to the aspect of the garden. Whereas the rest of the landscape surrounding the hotel was arid and rocky, the garden, which was watered by the springs, was full of colourful flowers and grass and weeds, and was a most beautiful sight as the hotel residents gathered in
Kenneth Williams is a chunk.
Well, we did have three hotels, I'm afraid.
I know.
Was it a large one? Three hotels.
How long are you going to be able to keep going without collapsing, Joan? Well, there are 34 seconds left for springs with you, Kenneth, starting now.
Well, on the subject of pleasure, Dr. Johnson said...
He's talking about the previous subject.
I know, he's just woken up.
He said springs, you see. He said about springs. I was going on to quote the mention of springs. He said...
But you said on the subject
of pleasure.
Hope springs eternal. What are you talking about?
I think you should have it, Kenneth. Very artfully done, I think, at the same time. There are 31 seconds left for springs with you starting now.
Well, if you can't get it in another place, you've got to try to get it somewhere else. And I was...
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
In Mr. Peter Jones' usual words, this is a family show.
It used to be your battle cry in just a minute. It was a family show.
Well, either I'm very naive or a complete fool.
I don't think you're either.
Thank you. I'm not conscious of having said anything which would give offence.
No, you look a bit unconscious at the moment. But I don't think you were deviating from the subject
Thank
of
you.
Springs, even though you Thank were you. Lowering the tone of the family show.
What has it got to getting it in got to do with springs?
Well, they go up and down, so you've got to get it in. Presumably.
Exactly.
Yes. There are 24 seconds, Kenneth, on springs, starting now.
One of the most difficult things when it comes to upholstery is to get the cloth over the springs. Now, you can get it in at a certain angle.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
He's got it in twice.
Yes. So, Derek, will you try and get him out of it? And there are 15 seconds on spring starting now.
I went on my honeymoon to the south of France, and there I had a very springy bed, and somebody had tied beneath it a large bell, and you've no idea the laughter that ensued as the evening went on, and Juan the Pan. We had to move the next night.
Joan Bakewell, challenge.
Family show challenge.
Yes, I know.
We were married.
Bells and Shrine of
Christ. Very little intimate.
Yes, but I still... well tried, Joan, but actually he wasn't deviating from springs, so he has another second to continue starting now.
Springs...
Who challenged? Oh. So Derek Nimmo has now taken the lead. He's just ahead of Peter Jones, who's just ahead of Kenneth Williams, who's just ahead of Joan Bakewell. And Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. Ships that pass in the night. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
The most vivid illustration that springs to my mind, apropos ships that pass in the night, occurs where the incident of the California actually did pass the Titanic. Now, at the time, in distress, she was sending up these Veery lights, or whatever they're called, and the other man thought, oh, they're having a firework display. And that is the reason he said afterwards at the trial or inquest or whatever you call the proceedings which were incurred after that terrible wreck that it did happen. I mean, the iceberg did hit it. I mean, or it came into contact.
Joan Bakewell is challenged.
There's a confusion of...
I think deviation of everything, yes.
The ships passed in the night, the California passed the Titanic.
I believe you.
It was the most extraordinary occurrence, because they were saying, got these very lights, you see, and he said, ah, but they're in the harbour. It's the most extraordinary thing.
Yes.
I always think about it when I think of the Titanic, because, you know, the man said on board, waiter, I know I ordered ice, but this is ridiculous.
So, thank you for the good value, Kenneth, but you were deviating onto icebergs and other things. So, Joan, you have a correct challenge, and there are 21 seconds for ships that pass in the night starting now.
The danger of the increase of traffic in the channel at the moment is that ships will not indeed be passing.
You rotten thing, yes.
Shish and chips.
Yes. Shish and chips. Too many ships in the channel there.
Slight, a slight mishap in pronunciation. I mean, where's your gallantry? You've got a guest on the show, a lady. Haven't you got any politeness?
First,
where's your manners, for goodness sake?
And that's the man who says we shouldn't have women on the show.
Of course not. I usually do, but with her it's different. After all, she's a professional, isn't she?
Yeah. Steady on, I thought it was a family show. Kenneth, Joan Baker was one of the loveliest guests we've had, but and I agree about the gallantry, but it was a correct challenge, so he goes over to Derek with 17 seconds left, starting now.
Ships that pass in the night and speak each other in parting those immortal words of Longfellow have now passed into the language through that lovely poem. One thinks of other ships that come from...
Kenneth Williams.
What lovely poem?
Longfellow's Wayside Tales.
Oh, tell us about it, then. You can't just...
He doesn't have to. He's not obliged to tell you.
Well, I mean, I don't know. He says it's coming to our language through his lovely poem. Well, what is this language that we're all speaking?
He's not obliged to tell you any poems or anything at all. As long as he keeps going and doesn't...
Well, I want to know.
Might take you a little corner afterwards and tell you.
He says it's coming to our language through Longfellow. Well, what is it?
Well, I told you, the Wayside Inn is...
Derek, you have 6 seconds to continue with the subject of ships that pass in the night, starting now.
Dirty British coaster with a salt cake smokestack.
Kenneth Williams.
Well, this is nothing to do with Longfellow.
He's now in the middle of another poet. He can move on to Masefield if he wants to afterwards. It doesn't really matter. He can go on to whatever he likes.
Well, I think this is very off-putting. Here we are, 1 minute being told that Longfellow's written something that passes into our language, which he fails completely, but is one example of. Then he quickly hastens. Hastily, I noticed, went on to another poet entirely.
Yes, but you can put each other off as much as you like.
I think it's deviation.
You're putting us off right now and holding us up. And there are 3 seconds for Derek to continue on ships that pass in the night starting now.
Only a signal shown, a distant voice in the darkness of the line that succeeds the one that I showed you above.
So with those incorrect challenges from Kenneth Williams to Derek Nimmo, and also one extra point for speaking as the whistle went, Derek has increased his lead. And Derek, it's your turn to begin. The next round is Spot the Lady. So can you tell us something about her in just a minute, starting now?
Well, it's tolerably easy to do on the programme tonight, because, of course, there is only one lovely lady amongst us. Another way, I suppose, of spotting the lady might be to give her an injection of measles, because then she would soon be covered with very nasty spotty spots, which would not be at all pleasant. Another way could be to throw ink at a woman, and then she would be covered with blue spots. To spot the lady, I think, also refers to a card game, but I'm not entirely sure about it. I think I used to call it in my childhood Ginny Green Teeth, but I think it's much the same sort of arrangement where you deal a pack of these mentioned lovely sheets of paper with stars and clubs and diamonds. Nobody wants to talk about Spot the Lady but me, because nobody knows anything at all about it. Nice work.
Repetition of nobody.
Yeah. Indeed, yes. And a lot of other things, I'm sure. 15 seconds are left with you, Peter, on Spot the Lady, starting now.
Well, it's really a confidence trick, and I've seen it practiced in Oxford Street. And they have one man who's dealing the cards, and he has two accomplices. One of them is putting the money on and trying to egg foreigners, visitors, tourists.
Just a minute, no, Derek. Derek challenged with half a second ago. What was your challenge,
well,
Derek?
I think that's called Chase the Ace, not Spot the Lady.
It depends on who's playing it.
Well, you...
what I'm talking about was Spot the Lady.
Yeah. So, Derek, Peter has another point with half a second to go, starting now.
Trump.
I'm afraid we have no more time to play Just a Minute, and... Peter Jones, with that last flash, didn't quite catch up on our leader. But let me give you the final score in reverse order. Joan Bakewell, our guest, who's never played the game before, came and did so well, and she's got only 1 point less than Kenneth Williams. So let's have a round of applause, because it's a very difficult game. Thank you. Thanks, Joan Bakewell. I hope that you'll be free to come back in a few weeks' time and play it again, Joan.
Confidence.
Oh, that's what it's all about, and you did marvellously. Kenneth Williams just beat you 1 point ahead. Peter Jones was a few points further ahead, and in the lead, 3 points ahead of Peter, was our winner this week, Derek Nimmo. We hope you have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.